The music business was mean. Mean like Justin Bieber when a fan asks for a selfie. The road to fame was littered with broken dreams, broken hearts, and actual litter. And the air was thick with unanswered questions. In a grimy office above the noise and filth, two men worked tirelessly to solve these mysteries. Their names? Tony Blackburn and his young apprentice, Ricky Wilson. The sign on the frosted glass door, it reads, Ricky and Tony, Pop Detectives.
Here we are then, Tony, back in the... Back in the office. Yeah, it's been a grinder a week for me.
It's been a tough one.
I know you sent me out back on the Peter Andre legs scandal, but yeah. I can't get a head nor tail of it.
Yeah.
But I've been moving house as well.
Oh, my goodness me,
when
that's
last,
a nightmare.
When was the last time you moved house?
Oh, about 28 years ago.
Oh, well, I didn't know how much stuff I had.
No. So you got to put stuff in storage, haven't you?
Books.
As well.
Books, Tony.
Books?
I love books.
Yeah.
They're too flipping heavy.
Yeah.
I'm
not a book reader.
You're not a book reader?
No. See, I wait till the book comes out as a film, because I love films, you see.
I just don't like going to the cinema.
What do you do on a Monday afternoon?
On a Monday afternoon...
Would you mind coming on the pensioners?
No, not at all. Do I have to dress up?
No, you don't have to dress up.
So I'm all right to go as me?
Yeah, you'll be all right, yeah. You don't have to be a pensioner necessarily to go, as long as you've got a pensioner like myself to be... Yeah, I mean, I'm your free pass, as it were. I'm a member of Every Man Club.
Okay, so we can go together.
I mean, if you just... if you bought perhaps a Zimmer frame or a stick, it would be helpful.
With some tennis balls on the end.
Yeah, that would be... Yeah. That would be... But, I mean, it's lovely, the Everyman Cinema, because you have...
You keep selling this... You know, when we do a podcast, Tony, I don't think you've got it right. We have to wait for them to sponsor them before we start selling them. Did you ever take a girl to the cinema?
Oh, yes. Back row. Thank goodness now for, the shows that we have on television, because now I'm seeing the films that I missed in the 60s.
Oh, because of snogging. Was it called snogging back then?
Yeah, it was.
Was it?
It was called snogging, yeah. Have you ever done that in the back row of the cinema?
Not in the back row. My first ever date was with, I don't remember her name, Amy Lawford.
Amy?
Amy Lawford.
Amy Lawford.
And we went to see Dances with Wolves, and it's a long film.
It is a long film.
And she's very slender, but she put her leg over my leg.
You're joking.
And my leg went numb.
I'll be absolutely honest with you here. I've never been in a situation where I've been in a cinema and my leg has gone numb because somebody else has had their leg over my leg.
Mm.
I've been in a situation where I've had my arm round...
and it's gone numb.
And my arm has gone numb.
Well, that's a good situation.
And you don't know whether or not to remove your arm
Know if it's your arm or not anymore.
Well, it gets to that stage, doesn't it?
It could be someone else's arm.
Yes. That's the great thing about when you get older. You're going to the cinema for the reason of seeing a film.
And not for the reason of touching a girl's breast with a numb hand.
Well, that's a waste of time anyway, isn't it? Because you've lost the feeling in your arm, and so you wouldn't know what you're feeling, would you?
You don't know if you're eating your own popcorn or not.
No, exactly, yeah.
The rain beat down like Ginger Baker on a snare. But in they came, ready to make people sing. Ricky and Tony, Pop Detectives.
Tony.
Yes.
So, the detective agency, we're doing an all right job.
Yes, it's going pretty well,
I think. It's going all right. Yeah. People are coming to us with their pop myths.
Yeah.
We're trying to work through them, but there's such a backlog.
Well, there's only two of us as well.
There's only two of us, and there's so many pop myths to be dealt with.
Yeah, there are.
On a daily basis. It's a big challenge. But what are we going to deal with today?
Can you play the message that comes in from our stool pigeon?
Here we go.
Ricky, Tony. Todd here, straight out of Hollywood. Look, Quincy Jones has been talking. Sounds like he's been sitting on a scandal since the early 80s. He reckons the Prince got so mad at Michael Jackson once that he wanted to run him down in his limo. Now, I hear gossip every day of the week here in Tinseltown, but this one is just too juicy to ignore. I know you're the pet to set this one straight.
Wow, so that sounds juicy.
It certainly does.
So let me get this straight. Prince tried to run over Michael Jackson. I don't believe.
This is a big case as cases go.
Yeah. So Michael Jackson gets pulled up on stage by James Brown.
Yep.
And does some dancing. He pops and he locks, moonwalks, he does all that. And then Michael Jackson suggests Prince comes up. James Brown apparently doesn't know who Prince is. Prince eventually gets up on stage, can't do the moonwalk or any of that stuff.
No.
So go straight for the guitar.
Yeah.
Wails on the guitar, does a great job.
Yeah, all in the stereo.
There's video footage of this. You can Google, you can Google it. We'll put a link in the thing. Then Prince gets overexcited.
Mm.
Maybe it's due to consumption.
Certain things.
Products.
Yep.
Too many drinks.
Well, that's fair enough because he didn't know he was going to be dragged up on the stage, did he?
Exactly.
So that's fair enough. He's on a night out.
There was a lamppost on the stage. Now, it was a lamppost that was put there as part of the stage setting.
Yeah.
And you think it was fixed to the stage.
Yeah.
Prince thought that exact same thing. Like,
as anybody would.
And he swung off it, fell off the stage. Now, have you ever fallen off a stage?
Yes.
Okay, it's embarrassing.
National Club Kilburn.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't exactly my fault because I was drinking with the owner of the club, and I was due to go on stage at midnight, and we'd had rather a lot of champagne, actually, and the audience were waiting there. And I said, I think I ought to go on stage. He said, no, no, it's all right. And about 3/4 of an hour later, I went on stage and fell off it.
Oh.
But strangely enough, I didn't damage myself.
Well, there you go.
The only time I've ever damaged myself was on roller skates before a Capital Gold gig. And I fell over and damaged my ankle. And I had a really very loud jacket on as well.
One of your famous...
One of my famous jackets, yeah. And I ended up in A&E. The A&E department.
Roller skates. There.
This
was
about 1 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And all the drunks that were in there, they sobered up very quickly when they saw me in this jacket.
You must have looked like an archangel.
Yes, very similar.
They probably thought that you were being visited. But so we've all fallen off stage. I've fallen off stage more, but it's part of my act now.
Is that through having too much to drink or what?
Oh, no. Don't drink on stage.
No.
That's why I fall off it. So okay. Have one order. No, well, I don't anymore. I used to.
Yeah,
but then I suddenly realised that I was missing out on one of the greatest adrenaline rushes you can ever have, which is being on stage.
I had a friend of mine, interestingly, going off the drink so much. He was obsessed by swimming, and this was happened in Bournemouth.
Yeah,
and he got to the extent where he was going in to have a swim
in the sea, or
in the
pool?
sea, Bournemouth seafront.
Yeah, okay.
And he went in for a swim in the morning and then in the afternoon. And then it got to him. He enjoyed it so much. He started swimming every hour. And it really upset his wife. And his marriage broke up because of
it. Because he was swimming too much?
Yeah, because he was swimming too much.
The demon drink?
Yes, but he went to a psychiatrist eventually. And he's a friend of mine. And I'm delighted to say he's now been dry for over a year.
Oh, God. Oh, what?
He's been dry for over a year.
How did you do
classic,
that?
Classic. Oh,
how did you set me up like that? I'm really annoyed at myself. Because I saw it coming. Because I saw the sparkle in your eyes as you got to the punchline. I knew. Oh, why did you ask?
I don't know.
Where were we? What were we talking about?
No idea. On stage, Prince.
Trying to run away. But he wasn't driving the car. He asked a limo. Apparently, he asked a limo driver to run someone over.
Yeah.
That sounds like a quip to me. Sounds like the same thing I'd say, run him over.
Yeah, I think it's a joke, isn't it?
So what do we have to go on, Tony? Just what Quincy Jones has said in an interview about the gig. Prince spoke to Michael after the show. Oh, yeah, he spoke to him, all right. Mm-hmm. I just added the all right.
Yeah, sorry, that's great.
I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
He waited in the limousine to try and run him over and LaToya and his mother. How do you know Prince was trying to run over him? He knew. Michael knows shit. He was there. He said that was his intention.
With his brains and his looks, they could go places. Ricky and Tony, pop detectives.
Okay, well, I think we need to, I don't know if you agree with me, to hear Prince's side of the story, but sadly he's no longer with us. Michael Jackson isn't along with us either, of course.
Neither of them.
And can't stick up for themselves. But we have the next best thing, Casey Rain.
Hey, Casey.
Hi.
Hi, Casey.
Hi, how are you guys doing? Lovely to be on the show. Nice to meet you.
Oh, it's great to have you here.
Thank you.
So where are you right now?
I am at home, which is in Birmingham.
In Birmingham? You don't sound like you're from Birmingham.
No, it doesn't. Do you have any views on the Bull Ring and the Spaghetti Junction?
I think everybody in Birmingham has views on the Bull Ring and the Spaghetti Junction.
I find it very difficult to get in and out of Birmingham
because
of the Spaghetti Junction. Yeah. How about the Bull Ring?
I think the Bull Ring's pretty great, actually.
Who is that singer? I've forgotten her name now. We love. from Birmingham.
Yes, I know who you're talking about. Beverly Knight.
Beverly Knight.
Beverly Knight's a great friend of mine.
Me and Tony talk about Beverly Knight quite a lot.
We do
in
a
our
lot.
Spare time, yeah. And we think she is a national treasure that is underappreciated.
Absolutely. She should be a global superstar by this time.
Yes.
She is really great.
She's phenomenal. She's really phenomenal. Great. I mean, she's been doing some shows recently with Prince's band, the New Power Generation, because they've been touring quite a bit and since he passed. And that's the last time I hung out with her.
Because Prince really liked Beverly, didn't he?
He did. He did. In fact, I don't know if either of you guys ever went to any of the 21 Nights in London.
I did not. I'm really sorry about that.
No. I don't get out a lot.
we're always following cases here in the office.
Yeah, we're too busy in the office.
So let's get back on subject. You love Prince.
Why do you love Prince so much?
I think he's the greatest, the most talented musician of our lifetime. Probably the past century or more. You know, he really was a genius. You know, 27 instruments played on his debut album when he was recorded when he was 19 years old, produced by himself, the first artist to be, you know, signed and allowed to produce their own record.
He was a musical polymath. But do you think this intenseness of his personality might lead to some anger? This is where we're heading with this.
He did. I think it's fairly well known amongst the Prince fan base. Maybe not so much in the general community that when he was certainly in the 80s. He was very intense to the point of moodiness, angerness. That's just who he was.
So I have to come to my theory of height. Because you'll find that somebody who is small, most of the people who've been very successful are quite small people.
Are you suggesting that they're trying to...
inferiority complex, it comes out as being slightly aggressive.
Yeah.
And I felt that Prince came to be slightly aggressive sometimes.
Well,
and when you say he's the best artist we've ever had in our... the most talented person. I put this to you, Casey. Have you ever heard Doris Day?
I have heard Doris Day.
Well, Prince has ever actually done a song as good as Whip Crack Away.
No, Tony.
Whip Crack Away.
That's a great song, Tony. But
it's a great song.
She couldn't.
I think we're going to have to disagree there.
She couldn't wail on the guitar.
You think that Prince is better than Doris Day?
Doris Day couldn't.
I do.
Oh,
yes.
Come on.
Tony.
Come on.
Tony.
She's an actor. She looked beautiful. She had terrific teeth.
With greatest respect, she couldn't wail on the guitar like Prince could.
Exactly.
She didn't need to. Exactly. She had so much talent.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, once I had a secret love. I mean, it's so much better than anything that Prince has produced, in my opinion.
So Doris Day v. Prince. Okay. What was the album when he was naked? What was that?
Love Sexy.
Cool.
Brilliant.
Doris Day
brilliant
didn't
album.
Have to take her clothes off to... looks, you know, to appeal to record.
Unfortunately, I do.
I've never seen you in the nude.
What are you looking at now? Right? I've just got the Mac on, but I'll undo the straps.
Has Prince ever worked in the nude? Did he?
I'm sure he did many times, yes.
I have in my contract that even doing podcasts, I have to never be photographed naked.
But the thing is... it's very what you're wearing is quite sheer, though. I can see through
it's a bit
Tony.
Plunging.
It's plunging and sheer.
Yes.
But
it's always important to leave something to the imagination.
Yeah. Let's get back on track. This feud, do you think it was made up? Because a lot of feuds are good for business.
It was very much made up.
Tony, have you ever had a feud with a DJ?
Noel Edmonds.
Really?
Yes.
But did you, behind the scenes, were you friends?
No.
Oh, you hated
it. Well, we didn't get on very well to start off with, but then I went on his program, The House Party, and he slammed the door in my face. And then later I said, you really wanted to do that, didn't you? And he said, yes. And then we became great friends.
Well, there you
from
go.
From then on. So it started.
But it was
off
good
badly.
For business,
it was. Well, it was, but it wasn't meant to be like that. It was a genuine thing.
So I can't think of anyone in the music industry that I've got a feud with.
Ollie Murs.
Well, I don't mind him. People think that I hate Ollie Murs.
But you do, don't you?
Well, no, I called him a bad word once.
What was the bad word?
Oh, it's too bad for the podcast.
Is it too bad? Okay.
Yeah.
Why did you call him that, though? What was the reasoning for it?
Because he is one.
No. What had he done, though, to bring out this? Because you're a very even...
He stole my job on The Voice.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
he didn't steal it. I just lost it. And he took over.
And you yeah. So well, it was the same with me with Noel, actually. I was doing the breakfast show.
Well, there you go.
And he took over the breakfast show.
Yeah, well,
I didn't want it. So in a strange sort of way.
It annoys you. But also, the fact that I have a feud with him,
yes,
the media like it. But, you know, so they came up through the ranks together.
Mm.
Yes.
MJ and Prince.
Yes, and as I say, you know, there was definitely a competitive rivalry, and I think at times it probably did get a little bit less friendly than other times. But I think that was not just, you know, people like to play that as being all down to Prince. So, you know, they cast him as this sort of dark, brooding guy, and Michael is this, oh, I'm so nice and happy to everyone. But actually, if you talk to Terence Trent D'Arby, Terence believes that Michael blocked his career.
Yeah, I think that too. But the thing is, I think you have to have a nemesis.
Mm.
Otherwise, yes, you don't push yourself.
Yeah,
right.
But I think with Prince and Michael, it was like a wave. You know, they had ups and downs, but at the end of the day, they both had a huge amount of respect for each other. You know, I've heard that Michael went out to Paisley Park, played basketball with Prince there.
Tony, have you ever played basketball with Noel Edmonds?
No, we've never played basketball, no.
Really?
Croquet? Noel is like myself.
Lacrosse?
We're not really interested in sport, I don't think.
Really?
No, we've never played croquet together.
Yahtzee?
Although, if he asked me, if he rung me up now,
yeah,
we're friends now and I would have
I'd like to see you and Noel Edmonds have a really heated game of Hungry Hippos.
I don't... Oh, yes, that could be.
That could be.
Can I just ask you, Casey, do you think Prince was probably jealous of Michael Jackson because he realised that Michael Jackson had much more talent than him? In my book, the Michael Jackson is far more talented than Prince.
Oh, the thing is...
The songs. I mean, Michael Jackson's songs are so much better than Prince's.
Thing is, Tony, we never disagreed.
Thriller.
But I prefer Prince, but then I was a Prince fan and not a Michael Jackson fan.
What you have to remember, though, is that between, 79 when Off the Wall came out and 2009 when Michael died, you've got about 4.5, 5 albums in that time. In the same time frame with Prince, you have like 50 albums.
Mm. Casey, I got into Prince. I got into Prince at Batman. Right?
Yes.
Batman.
Yeah, he did the Batman theme. He didn't do that one.
Not that one, no.
But he did the Tim Burton film soundtrack.
Just a matter of interest, Casey, who do you prefer, Batman or Superman?
Batman.
Yeah, of course.
Why Batman? Well, Batman can't fly.
Yeah, but
Because he's quite dark, isn't it?
But I mean...
This is the first time we disagreed.
If you wanted to be Batman or Superman, I'd rather be Superman because he can fly.
Yeah, but Superman doesn't exist.
What?
Batman could exist.
Batman could exist. That's the thing. Mm. That's the thing. So the interesting thing and the very relevant point that I have to make right now...
What's that?
John Peters, who was the movie producer working with Tim Burton on Batman, he wanted... the Batman soundtrack to be Michael and Prince, where Michael would sing songs from Batman's point of view and Prince would sing songs from Joker's point of view.
Oh, that would have been incredible.
The original concept. That was the original concept. Can I bring you back,
Casey, to something? I mean, you are an expert on Prince. You know everything there is to know about Prince. What did he like for breakfast?
Omelettes and waffles.
Do you know what, Tony? Yeah. I can't have an omelette unless it's well done.
No,
you know,
I can't
when it's
either.
Too runny,
same with me.
It's
as well.
Horrible, isn't
I
it?
Can't. Horrible. How about you, Casey? How do you like your omelette done?
Well, I'm vegan, so not at all.
You're vegan?
Oh, I'm very nearly vegan. I'm vegetarian.
You know, Tony's been vegetarian all his life.
Yeah,
amazing.
Casey. Yeah,
that's
amazing. So, the incident in question, as a huge fan of both artists, mainly of Prince, you would say it didn't happen.
Yeah, you see, I don't believe the story. So, I think. First of all, the amazing thing about that performance is that, you know, it's just before the Thriller video came out and it's 2 weeks after Prince recorded half of Purple Rain's performed these songs for the first time, including the title track and Let's Go Crazy and all these incredible songs. Yeah. So it's really a moment before both of them were about to explode even more so than they had, you know, to that point. Mm. It's pretty generally understood that Michael set Prince up, at that show, having seen that Prince was maybe had a few drinks or there's a suggestion that he was maybe doing a few lines with James Brown's band backstage.
Ooh. Is that a drug reference?
That's a rumor that's been around for a while. Nobody's really, you know, can confirm.
Oh, so you think there was a little bit of malevolence on the part of Michael going, setting him up.
So when you watch that video, you see that James Brown invites Michael on stage and he sings and dances a little bit. And then you see him whispering in James's ear for about 2 minutes. And immediately afterwards, James goes, oh, Prince is here. Bring Prince up. And Prince, you know, plays a bit of guitar and screams into the microphone and dances a little bit, but is clearly maybe not in a, you know, regular state of mind.
Okay.
And how much of that was performance and how much of it wasn't is debatable. But there's a suggestion that he wasn't happy about it. He, you know, and this is where the story comes from, that, you know, he tried to run Michael over.
You think it's just a story, though, do you?
Yeah, well, here's the problem. The only person that's ever spoken on it with any clarity is Quincy. And as much as I love Quincy, and I think Quincy is a musical genius, he does have the tendency to, you know, inflate the stories that he tells.
Right.
He's not a reliable narrator in any sense.
So
if you look at the same interview where Quincy spoke most recently about this, he has about a million stories that he shares in the course of about 5 pages. And if all of these stories were true, then he would be basically, you know, the Forrest Gump of rock and roll.
I think that's a great title for his biography, though.
Forrest Gump of rock and roll, yes.
Yeah.
I suspect that if anything happened, maybe, you know, Prince was in his car backstage or afterwards and saw Michael and maybe, like, got his driver to sort of rev his engine up to kind of,
and
you know,
said, no, I think I can maybe get with the fact that he went, run that
so-and-so
over.
Yeah.
And then it was laughed about, and that was that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So as Casey Rain, so you've changed your name, Casey Rain?
Yes, I have.
Why Casey Rain?
So Rain...
Purple.
Comes from...
Purple Rain.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Casey comes from Kurt Cobain, his initials, Casey.
Casey, perfect.
I'm a huge Nirvana fan as well.
You're a fan of a lot of people. Mm. I like that.
Why didn't you change your name to Prince Rain and gone the whole way?
You like Casey?
I think that's a little bit on the nose.
Michael Rain. Michael Rain.
Thanks, Casey Rain. Thank you for your...
Thank you, Casey.
Thanks, Jim. But we appreciate it greatly, and we'll speak to you soon. And
we
know what we're going to do now with the information. Thank you.
Putting what's off the record on the record. Ricky and Tony, pop detectives.
What we're going to do? We're going to appeal to people to put their pop myths forward?
Yes, if there's any... thing in the pop music world that has baffled you, okay. And you want us to solve it, then by all means just get in touch, won't you?
Yeah.
You can get in touch at Ricky and Tony, that's all one word, rickyandtony.com.
Have we got our own .com now?
Yes, we have.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we've got a .com. Or send an email to podcasts@rickyandtony.com.
Wow. Is there a Twitter?
I think there is.
I think it must be Ricky and Tony Pod.
It's a great handle, that one.
Pod.
Well.
Right. Yeah. So Ricky and Tony Pod.
Yes.
And tweet us and let us know what myths you want dispelling.
Ricky and Tony, pop detectives.
Hello.
Hello, Steve Knopper. Are you there?
Hello. Nice to talk to you, gentlemen.
Well, it's really interesting what you've got to say, Steve, because you are an MJ aficionado. You know everything about MJ, right?
I'd like to think I do, but it turns out there are many secrets that I do not know.
Oh, so. But what we're going for today is his relationship with Prince.
Right.
Did they have a feud? What do you know about this?
Well, there are a couple different points in Michael Jackson's career and Prince's career where they seem to have a feud, yes.
Was it fabricated by the press, or was it real?
So I think it was real to some extent. Mm. I mean, I don't think that there was a great friendship between the two men.
Mm-hmm.
It began when they were recording. Michael wanted to bring in Prince to record portions of the Bad song.
Yeah.
Especially the first line where he says, "Your butt is mine." And he thought it would be sort of a dueling duet kind of thing where they would switch off on verses. And at the last minute, Prince said, "You know, no effing way. I'm not going to sing a song where I say your butt is mine, or I allow Michael to say your butt is mine in the song." So that was one thing, and then there was another incident later on that I refer to in my book, where Prince was on stage in Las Vegas in the early 2000s,
mm-hmm.
and he was doing one of his own shows, and Michael, who lived in Las Vegas at the time, had been given a ticket to sit in the front row kind of secretly. Michael was with Will I Am of the Black Eyed Peas.
Oh, I know him.
That's who the story comes from.
Uh-huh.
Right. And so, you know, Prince kind of comes out in the audience unexpectedly and starts playing bass and does this very aggressively, this slap bass kind of right in Michael's face.
That can be quite aggressive when someone does that to you.
Yeah, and Will.i.am kind of interpreted this as an aggressive move. And the next morning, according to Will is basically the source of this. Mm-hmm. The next morning, Michael complains to Will and he says, you know, why did Prince play bass in my face? He's never been respectful of me, that sort of thing. So, and you know, there are a couple of sort of little incidents that happen over time that add up that suggest there is a rivalry. I'm not sure how much that is really real, like they disliked each other, and how much of it was...
As a biographer, Steve, do you have any biography kind of like feuds with any other biographers that you kind of like, oh, they're bringing out a book, I'm going to bring out a book,
and you want to run them over?
Oh, yeah, I just want to run over all the other biographers.
I bet you do.
Have you ever done that?
Have I ever run any other biographers over with my car? I have not done that. I can safely say that. But
you wouldn't admit it even if you had, though, would you?
I mean, you never know. I mean, stuff comes up. But the fact is that in my case, I mean, I'm a journalist and I'm competitive. So, yeah, so sometimes if somebody comes out with another story or another book on the same subject and they have something that I don't have, you know, of course I get competitive.
That would make you cross.
Have you ever met Michael Jackson?
I never have met Michael Jackson. Sadly, he passed away before.
I have.
Really?
Yeah. I was doing a program called Top of the Pops, and I walked past Michael Jackson, and he looked at me and said, "Hello." And that was it. He was surrounded by bodyguards, and he just said, "Hello."
That's not meeting someone.
It's not really meeting somebody, but at least I have talked to him in a way.
No, he talked to you.
That works.
Yeah. Yeah, he talked to me.
I would go with that.
I sort of met him, but he was surrounded by so many bodyguards, it was difficult. Just a matter of interest, Steve. I mean, you, what made you get interested in Michael Jackson? Were you just a fan?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a fan. A couple of things. One is that at the time I started this project, my daughter, who's actually driving the car and is here with me today.
Oh, hello. What's her name?
Hello there.
They say hello. Had just gone through a very intense Michael Jackson phase, like listening to Going Back to Indiana 100 times a day, putting pictures of young Michael on the Christmas tree, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then the second thing is that I had written a book previously about the music business, Appetite for Self-Destruction. And I went into the period of Off the Wall and sort of Thriller ultimately saving the music business in part. And through that research, I wound up talking to some key players in Michael Jackson world. And so I had this information, and it turned out to be kind of a nice transition into this new project.
Can you moonwalk?
I cannot moonwalk. I can try to moonwalk, but fortunately this is the radio, so you won't get to see me doing it.
And you're in a car.
Yes,
and
that
I'm
would
in a
be
car.
Difficult.
It makes it harder.
But sometimes if you're driving...
Some of those American cars, they used to be so big, you could have moonwalked to them.
Well, no, I'm just thinking of if you're driving at a certain speed and then you kind of like try and like imagine you're walking backwards.
Yes.
And someone's filming you.
Yeah.
You'd look pretty cool.
You would look cool, yeah. I used to drive a Cadillac, an American Cadillac in this
you
country.
You did not?
No, honestly, seriously.
What?
I went through a stage of the big American
cars. Down the King's Road.
But the only problem
Tony
was...
Tony Blackburn here!
Yeah, do you know what the problem was? What? Fabulous cars, but as it's the wrong side of the road, I love driving on the wrong... I mean, no,
I love driving on the wrong side of the road.
But when you get into a car park, you can't reach the thing that you put the ticket in.
Yes, probably right. Yeah.
I always preferred Michael Jackson to Prince on a musical night because I always thought that Michael Jackson was more soulful, Prince was more rocky. What do you think, Steve? Do you prefer Michael Jackson to well, you obviously do, to
does.
Prince, don't you?
I mean, it's kind of like picking your left arm and your right arm.
Oh, good point. What's your favorite arm, Tony?
My favorite arm is my right arm.
I am left-handed.
You're left-handed?
You're left-handed. That's interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure about the rock versus pop axis so much. I mean, Michael, although, you know, he was certainly known for a lot of his pop songs, had a lot of really great classic rock songs. I mean, Don't Stop Till You Get Enough is a great rock song.
Yeah.
I would call that more disco, wouldn't you? You wouldn't call that more disco? Don't stop till we get enough. It's funny you should have that don't stop till you get enough, because I have, I don't know if you have one as well, so I have a disco ball at home, which we have in the kitchen, and I quite often, seriously, and I love it. And when I put that on, and we have lighting on it, and it lights up, it's like being at a disco, although I don't go to discos very much.
Michael,
now,
obviously, mined a lot of musical influences. He wasn't always just focused on what he was doing as a personal player. I hear that he bought records by the wheelbarrow load. He loved, like,
he
knowing.
He liked to stay on top of things. He would go to Tower Records in Beverly Hills and, you know, close down the store. They would close the store for him, and he would just shop.
They do that at my local Budgeons.
He tried to stay on top of things.
Really?
Mm. What was the last record you bought, Tony?
Last record?
Yeah.
Frankie Lane.
What year?
Cool Water.
And what year was this?
Oh, that was in the 50s. This thing, this theory that was going around, what
yeah,
I heard,
we need to get his opinion on the case, Tony. We need to get his opinion on the case.
Okay, So what do you think? Then?
Do you think Prince tried to run over Michael Jackson?
I don't have any evidence of that. I did interview somebody in my book who was a musician who was present at that concert.
Yeah,
And he talked about sort of how there were a lot of games being played at that concert. There was some of Michael's brothers were there too.
Yeah, I heard about
that. It was there in the audience, and so there were a lot of witnesses to what had happened there. And there was a long discussion about, you know, Prince was in his car waiting in the wings and sort of not coming in until he was properly invited.
Right.
You know, and he put on this whole show with his bodyguard and all this stuff, but I did not uncover any evidence of Prince trying to run anyone over or vice versa.
So, but I think Prince was just a little bit embarrassed by falling off the stage, and maybe hearsay and whatever led to this rumor happening, but nothing actually untoward happened, and they were never bad enemies. They would had a competitiveness which spurred each other on, but there was never any real aggression. Is that your diagnosis?
Certainly not any violence,
right.
Or attempted violence. I don't think it spilled over into any, you know, sort of I'm going to kill this guy.
Okay.
If you had a chance to run one person over, Steve, who would it be?
Oh, I would say unequivocally Donald Trump.
Oh!
And you're still going with Noel Edmonds, aren't you, Tony?
I don't want to run Noel Edmonds over. No, we're great friends now.
Oh, really?
There's nobody I particularly want to run over, no.
Okay.
No.
Right. Okay, well, so on that note, on that bombshell.
On that bombshell, yeah.
You defute the idea that Prince tried to kill Michael Jackson.
I mean, I can only say that I have no evidence for it, and it didn't come up in my research, but I can't personally, say that he did or he didn't, but it seems incredibly unlikely to me.
Oh, hello. Is that an American siren?
Sorry about that. Yep, still driving.
Oh, that was American.
That was terrific.
That really gave us a giddy buzz, didn't it?
Have you been pulled over by the cops or anything like that? Or?
No, they're not called the cops over there.
No.
Are they? What are they called?
Ambulance going the opposite way.
Oh, it's an ambulance, is it? Yeah. This might surprise you, but I actually rather like driving on, Steve, your side of the road. I wish we did in this country.
Why?
I don't know what it is. I just like it.
Do you know the history behind it?
No.
It's to do with swords.
Swords?
It's very difficult to get into.
Yeah.
You kept your... Well, in our country...
Yes.
We drive on the left-hand side.
Left-hand side, yeah.
Because we kept our swords...
Yes.
On the left-hand side of our body...
Good Lord.
To get with your right hand.
Huh. Yeah.
So when you approach someone down the lane, you could grab it and... you'd be fighting like a jousting match.
But this was before that they invented the car, surely.
Yeah.
That is really interesting.
And I don't know why they travel on the right in other countries.
Yeah. I think in those days as well, I think what was nice about, you know, horse riding and the horse and carriage, that there were no speed cameras.
Well, no.
So you could go at the speed you wanted, couldn't you?
Is Steve still on the phone?
I'm still on the phone. Oh, okay. I'm following a Tesla on the road, and I wonder if I should get him with my sword.
I think you should get, definitely, those Teslas. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much,
did,
Steve.
Did Michael Jackson ever have a horse?
I can't answer that.
I think he probably had
a lot of animals at Neverland.
I'm not sure.
I mean, chimpanzees, and he had, you know, various zoo animals. A horse? I don't know. I'd have to check my notes.
I reckon he had a horse.
Do you think so?
A Shetland pony, at least.
Probably so.
He would have had everything, really, wouldn't he?
Right, yeah, of course.
Probably a llama. Hmm. Not a giraffe. What are you?
All right, Steve. I know we've gone off track, but thank you very much for talking to us about Michael Jackson, and you've actually helped quite a lot with
this. Very much so. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. I'll watch out for a giraffe. Bye.
Ricky and Tony, pop detectives, making music mysteries toast. French toast with a side of eggs over easy and some hash browns and pancakes with syrup. Mmm.
So, Tony.
Yeah.
What do you make of this whole affair? We've heard a lot of evidence
and from some interesting people.
Yeah.
There's so much to go through in my mind.
There is a lot, but I always go with my gut on this kind of thing. And I know Prince didn't try to murder Michael Jackson.
You're absolutely convinced about
absolutely
that?
Absolutely convinced. From the evidence I've heard, I think the most that happened is maybe Prince was in a car and said, paraphrasing here, run that bugger over.
Yeah.
He didn't do it in that voice. That's not Prince's voice.
No, it's not. That didn't sound
but
like Prince's
But I think
voice.
It you probably, mean, it was something, and I reckon he was just angry, maybe a bit drunk.
Yeah, could be.
And just said that. Didn't mean it. And no limo driver, as we've heard, worth his salt, would do exactly what the person
No, he'd lose his license, he'd lose, wouldn't he? Yeah, he's be not ridiculous.
No. So, no, I don't think it happened. I think that maybe it was joked about. Because, you know, you've had your confidence bruised.
Yes.
You're feeling a little bit low. And, you know, your big rival in the charts is looking cool and you're looking a bit. You know, you've fallen off the stage.
Yeah, I mean, weighing up all the evidence, I tend to agree with you.
Thank you.
There is a certain amount of doubt there, but I don't think there's a lot of doubt.
I think we've got a case solved, and the fact is, myth busted, Prince did not try to murder Michael Jackson.
Case solved.
Case solved. Rubber stamp it.
It was a macadamia, the toughest nut to crack. But these guys were the biggest nutcrackers in the business. Ricky and Tony, pop detectives.
Well done. I'm very pleased with that.
Yeah, so I'm pleased with that
investigation. I mean, I watch a lot of documentaries on Netflix, etc. And the worst thing is, you know when it ends and they go, and we will never know.
Yes, I hate that.
I hate that. I always want to end this. I always want to end this on a, we know for a fact that Prince didn't try to murder Michael Jackson.
So basically we can move on to the next case.
Yeah, yeah, well, we'll meet up tomorrow morning, shall we? Okay.
What are you doing this evening?
Well, obviously, I'm going to trawl the streets to find more pop myths to bust. I'm still going undercover with Peter Andre, which is taking its toll to find out if he's got legs or not.
Yeah, it sounds interesting.
It's interesting. I mean,
I'm just going to go home. Unfortunately, I'm six behind on Coronation Streets.
Are you?
So, yeah, so I'm going to go home and watch a bit of Corrie.
Well, don't worry. I'll be pounding the streets. I'll be pounding all sorts of things tonight.
Yeah.
Trying to uncover the truth behind pop's myths.
You're very dedicated to the job, and that's what I like about you, and that's why I hired you in the first place, and you certainly haven't let me down.
Thank you, mate.
But I'm still going to go home and watch Coronation Street.
All right, you enjoy it.
The music business was mean, but Ricky and Tony could do mean. They were born for it, like a mayfly was born to die at the end of the day. They slammed shut the filing cabinet, pulled the cord on the Venetian blind, threw on their trench coats, and headed out into the rain. Until next time.
Have you been eating Twiglets again?
I love Twiglets.
I know you do.